2018 will be an Olympic year, with the Winter Games kicking off in February in South Korea. 2017 was a year in which sports and politics intersected like never before. Here's President Trump at a rally in Alabama in September when he said this about players who were taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
The controversy hit a league that was already dealing with concussions and sexual assault cases against some of its players. Mike Pesca is here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com, and he joins us now to look back at the year in sports. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
And where do we stand as 2017 ends on this controversy over national anthem protests?
On a precipice, I'd say. Controversy hit the NFL. The NFL has been synonymous with controversy for a while now, and I think mostly because of the concussion issue, which was, let's be blunt about it, covered up or at least so serially ignored as to make it become a dire existential threat to the league. And then out of left field comes this national anthem protest that President Trump, I guess you could say cynically wisely for the sake of politics, tries to use it for himself. There were crosswinds with the NFL. Ratings had gone down last year when Donald Trump was just or the year before when Donald Trump was just descending golden elevators. So he kind of takes advantage. He points to the politics of this moment and this movement. And to some extent, I think he does accelerate the decline of ratings. However, you know, I think the NFL, I know the NFL is still the most popular sport in America. It continues to be. It wouldn't surprise me if the Super Bowl again breaks ratings. So there is a lot of sound and fury around this. I don't know if it signifies nothing, but from a political point of view, I think that it's more opportunism taking advantage of a decline in ratings than Trump causing a decline.
There's also a major racial element to all of this. Let's listen here to Miami Dolphins safety Michael Thomas. Responding to the president after a game in September.
Yeah, I took it personally, but at the same time, like I said in my Twitter post, it's bigger than me, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's bigger than me. I got a daughter. She's going to have to live in this world. You know what I'm saying? And,
you can hear the emotion there in his voice. But what about the racial element to this?
Right. So this taking a knee was inspired by Colin Kaepernick, who didn't take a knee, but he sat for the anthem during preseason games. And Colin Kaepernick has not been allowed to play in the NFL.
Right.
And the issues that players, especially the leaders of the movement, want to focus on include disparities in policing. That's a big one. But other elements. And they've, eloquently put forward what their demands are. It's not hard to figure out what they are, what they'd like from the league. And the league, I think, mostly in an effort to try to quell this dispute, has said, let's give $1 million here. Let's try to help you lobby members of Congress. Let's do some small things to show that we're good partners, but to really to take this national anthem issue away. And it came to the fore when Jerry Jones the owner of the Cowboys, threatened to not certify Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner's big raise, because he was just sick and tired of this anthem issue taking so much of the oxygen that he feels his Cowboys, or at least the game itself, should occupy. So, yeah, you can't ignore the racial issues at all, as much as the NFL would really love for this to go away.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other big sports stories of the year, including this from baseball.
Corey Seager, the batter, and a swing and a ground ball for Altuve out on the outfield grass. On to first, and the Houston Astros have claimed that city's first ever World Series championship.
Dan Schulman there with the call on ESPN Radio as the Astros beat the Dodgers to win the World Series. Mike, a feel-good story, especially because of the terrible damage that Houston suffered in Hurricane Harvey.
Yes, and they rallied, and the Astros were a terrible team for so long, which, by the way, it wasn't a coincidence. They built the greatness of the current Astros squad based on the fact that they got draft picks by being terrible for a long time. But I think it also is embodied in the player whose name you heard, Altuve, who is the AP's male sportsman of the year,
right,
or male athlete of the year, shortest player in Major League Baseball, and just an excellent all-around player, and a player who has power and speed and is a great fielder. So yes, the Astros were a nice break and a tonic for that region hit by that terrible hurricane.
What about the NBA this year? It was another big year for the Golden State Warriors, who beat the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the title. And this rivalry continues between the two star players, LeBron James and Steph Curry.
Yeah, and their Christmas Day game was once again epic. So as much as we've praised the Astros, we've noted that the NFL is experiencing tough times. The NBA is ascendant. The NBA is getting most of everything right. And they're a league that is embracing what it means to be a professional sports enterprise in 2017. They really understand social media. They're not afraid of their players having personality. They're not afraid of their players expressing opinions. Now, there are reasons for this, and maybe you could say the NBA is lucky. The NBA has 12 players per team, not the 51 that the NFL does. You could see all the NBA players. But I think for years, the NBA, and you could even hear it when their commissioner talks about the players, he always says, you know, our partners. And that's how they think about, that's how the owners who run the league think about the players in the league. There's an acknowledgement that they're partners. And you don't hear that with the NFL. It's a much more top-down hierarchical structure. And that's why I think the NBA is encapsulating what is encapsulating best practices for a sports league. It's compelling. Even if you don't have your own team that's doing well, there are a dozen players you just want to watch on every night. And every once in a while, Rajon Rondo will get 25 assists right, like he did in a game between the Pelicans and the Nets last night. So it's just a compelling thing to watch.
Well, and there's another big difference, which is that there are a lot of prominent NBA players and team coaches, owners, who have stood up to President Trump in a way that we're not seeing in the NFL.
Yes. And for a league that's, you know, in the 80-something percent black, that makes sense. The ownership is a bit more diverse, if not racially, though there is that element too, a bit more diverse in terms of the background of the owners. So you have some younger people, you have some, you know, savvy tech billionaires instead of, like, say, extractive industries or inherited wealth. And that makes a difference, too.
There was also scandal this year, as there always is. Here's some audio from June Kim, acting U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York.
The picture painted by the charges brought today is not a pretty one. Coaches at some of the nation's top programs soliciting and accepting cash bribes.
Mike, this was a criminal scandal involving college basketball. Remind us what happened and what did it expose about the game?
It's funny. I'm sure a lot of your listeners heard that and say, wait, this could be any of a number of sports, right? So the NCAA, this was NCAA basketball, and assistant coaches, top assistant coaches, including a former NBA very good player, Chuck Person of Auburn, took bribes to essentially funnel players to agents and to marketers. And you just have this situation where the NCAA is making, over the course of its contract with the TV networks, over $1 billion to sell its enterprise. And the student athletes are getting none of that. They're getting scholarships, I guess you could say. But look what's going to happen on New Year's Day and with the College Bowls. They will be setting ratings records. They will be putting millions of dollars in the pockets of advertisers and networks. And the kids who are actually out there as the product aren't getting anything. So it opens the door for all sorts of chicanery. And here we have criminal chicanery. There are several coaches still under indictment, and those legal cases are proceeding.
Who would you say are the top athletes of the year, both male and female, in the U.S.?
Okay, so Katie Ledecky won the honor from the AP. She's a great swimmer. Normally in non-Olympic years, we don't watch swimming. Next year will be a Winter Olympic year. So I would say, let's say Michaela Schifrin, the great American skier who won World Cups and is setting records. And I think that will be a name on everyone's lips next year. So it'll be the sort of pick this year where next year, when you look back in retrospect, you'll say, oh yeah, that made sense. She was great in the World Cup of skiing. Now, with male athlete of the year, Altuve is a great pick. You can't go wrong with any number of baseball players. I think you have to pick a basketball player for everything that I've said.
So is it LeBron or is it Steph Curry?
It's LeBron. And okay. It's boring, but why not just give it to him every year that he's the best basketball player on the planet and that the NBA is the best sport in America? That makes sense to me.
Mike Pesca, Here Now sports analyst who hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, thank you and Happy New Year.
You too.